This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Keith, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is 12:03, coming up to 12:04 on Friday, the 2nd of August, 2019. I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj.
I'm Vinny Braj.
Our producer today, of course, is Christine Wong, and us... 3, 4, we'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation of the day, you can get us on WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Arvin, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about Android boxes and how if you own an Android box, you could be held accountable if you stream illegal content.
Even if you don't own it and you own a property and somebody uses it within your property, you could be held responsible for
all
that.
All you have to do is be a homeowner.
There you go.
Ouch.
And then story number two, brace yourself. Hashtag gene bragging is near. What is that?
We will let you know a bit later, but it's a bit scary.
And then we'll wrap up with a bit of a fun tech story. Enhance, new contact lenses that allow you to zoom in by blinking. The future is here. Mm-hmm. Right, Arv, do you want to take it away on these Android boxes?
Yeah, so the National Film Development Corporation Malaysia, or FINAS, is putting together a paper to propose that homeowners should be held accountable for the use of illegal Android boxes on their property. So what this means is that even if your house is rented out to someone else and they stream illegal content, as the landlord, it's still your fault. So you need to be responsible for what people do in your house, even if you're not staying there. So for those who don't know, Android TV boxes are like media hubs or decoders that are able to install multiple apps that are able to stream content from multiple sources. Their actual purpose, or the original purpose, was to turn your non-smart TV into smart TV, so to give it like an Android platform. But because there's no... There's no regulation on the kinds of apps you can install on these boxes. People normally use them to stream illegal content because, you know, everything from Astro to Hip TV to Netflix to any other content, even from other countries, you can get on the Android box as long as you install certain apps or by, you know, quote unquote, jailbreaking it.
Mm-hmm. And the content is free, right?
It's free. So right. So obviously it's all illegal because someone else who's sitting somewhere in the world is tapping into these streams and then sending them to you for free. So it's stealing. It's basically stealing. There's no other way to put it. But anyway, after coming up with the papers, or the proposal for the papers to charge homeowners and keep users accountable for the content, Lam Sui Kim, she's the CMO of Dim Sum. Dim Sum is also an online streaming service. She said these measures are a good idea. She quotes by saying that it's a challenge to explain that video on demand is not free. We have to pay for license, production, hardware, software, artists, and more. Everything costs money, and consumers need to fully understand why it is wrong. It's not about pricing. They are willing to pay 15 ringgit for a cup of coffee, but won't pay 13.90 a month for content. If we keep reducing fees, it's not going to solve the problem. If Malaysians can support the no straws and no plastic bags policy, they should also be able to support the no digital piracy policy. It can be just as sexy and cool.
Thoughts. Right. We've heard this problem before, haven't we?
Yeah, it's not a new problem.
This is the exact same problem that the music industry faced 10, 15 years ago with Napster and a few of the other streaming platforms. It also feels as though this is a way of strong-arming a lot of people back into using a certain... cable service, Astro. You know, we know that Astro are not doing so well in terms of, well, content, and in terms of people signing up for Astro anymore.
The saturation point.
And, you know, we know that they want people to get onto the platform again. The problem is, once you've lost a lot of those consumers, it's very unlikely that they'll sign up again for a contract, because they can find their content elsewhere and for much, much cheaper, and they don't have to sign a 3-year contract.
Or if it's legal, then it's free.
Exactly.
Which is the problem here.
I think it was Hong Leong Investment Bank that said earlier this year that Astro is clearly the most affected by the proliferation of these TV boxes, and this is of course evident in its declining premium subscribers over the last 3 years, especially. You know, they've seen a real downturn.
I think that there's a multitude of reasons why people have turned to, you know, these Android boxes. It's not just that they're convenient and it's affordable. You know, there's stuff that we've spoken about here in the studio. You know, the content that is provided locally compared to what you can get internationally, there's a great disparity. And the thing is, you know, people of a certain generation, even my generation, recognize that disparity. You know, we see stuff that is not produced as well, not as flashy, if you like. The content doesn't seem as good. It's been chopped around. We don't often get some of the stuff that is available elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and even stuff that we can find elsewhere, if you go over to Netflix or some of the other streaming services, they provide it for a cheaper, you know, a cheaper fee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so people not just they're not just using these Android boxes, they're finding other ways of not looking at local content because they just don't like the local content that they're seeing.
Enough, yeah. I'll read a quote by Gabe Newell from 2011 to put a few things into context. So Gabe is a video game developer. He's also the CEO of Valve Entertainment. He's a popular figure in the nerd community and stuff. So he said, piracy is almost always a service problem and not a pricing problem. If a pirate offers a product anywhere in the world, 24/7, from the convenience of your personal computer, and the legal provider says the product is region locked, will come to your country 3 months after the US release, and can only be purchased at a brick and mortar store, then the pirate service is more valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that just sort of like nutshells piracy.
I mean, it's not just that. I mean, it's okay coming after the Android boxes. I mean, that's one way of fighting piracy.
Yes.
But we have smart devices now that can do exactly the same thing, and you can do it wherever you are, you know, on any network, and it still provide the same service. Okay, something like this and sitting down and saying we're going to get together and we're going to do a paper is fine, but how are you going to make that effective when it comes to people streaming on their mobile device? Are you going to be, you know, there's no way that you can enforce that. Somebody sat in a coffee shop somewhere, or somebody sat in the middle of nowhere streaming via their data. The only way you're going to be able to do that is by looking granularly at the service provider, the internet service providers, and monitoring the amount of data that people use. So then you're involving the ISPs as well.
Yeah. I think that was one of the suggestions. I can't remember where I read it, but someone suggested that you kind of slow down the internet, or you cut it off completely for those who are on, sites that are providing pirated content, right? But how do you do something
But
like
as
that?
You know, there are ways and means around that, you know, and especially when we have no data caps here in a lot of our services.
Yes, which is good.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to kind of, you know, keep an eye on what people are actually using the internet for. You can shape the internet, or you can shape the content that they receive, but you have to do it for everybody then, and for every person who's using it. It becomes very, very difficult.
So maybe this is the first step, like trying to get the people who already have these boxes and are using these boxes. I guess this is maybe the first step for Finas. But, you know, are they in a position to actually regulate the use of these boxes? You know, can they actually take action? Can they go out there and enforce, you know, go into, like, actually start fining or taking action against homeowners for using these boxes?
No, I think from what I understand, once they propose the paper, then it has to go to Parliament, and then it actually has to become a law. So they have to change certain kinds of laws to sort of prove who owns the content first, and then you can sort of take action on someone who's, like, illegally streaming it. And even then, it just looks like a bunch of, like, loopholes and lawsuits waiting to happen, because then do you find the person who's watching the content, or do you look for the person who's, you know, streaming the content to it's a two-pronged service.
Well, frankly, it sounds like a lot of bluster. You know, if you know that piracy is happening, shut down the DVD stores. You know, don't just say, you know, it's Android boxes. They're openly dealing DVDs, you know, still in places around town.
But the study, the MCMC study on these Android boxes, you know, whether to ban them or not, it's still not ready yet. It's supposed to be ready by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So I think they have already started taking action against companies that are selling these Android boxes, these illegal Android boxes.
Yeah.
A couple of companies, I think there was, I think, up to 70,000 ringgit fine for selling these boxes. But the ban on the boxes, that study that started somewhere in February this year, that's still not ready yet.
So, I mean, I've still seen them available for purchase
everywhere,
in big malls as well, you know, openly. Yeah. It's not something that's been hidden away.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said DVDs. So DVDs went out of style because people just stopped consuming them.
Because
there was no need for them. So when people had content on their phones and their TVs, they sort of stopped using DVDs. So that's one end of the problem. Coming back to Astro for a bit, what they did with Game of Thrones, I think, is a good way to curb the problem, because the biggest complaint people had about Game of Thrones wasn't the availability, but the censorship issues.
Yeah.
They didn't want to watch, like, chopped up versions of the episodes. So Astro went, okay, we can't show this on TV because of law and regulation and stuff. But we can put it on our online platform. And for a certain fee, you can watch the episodes completely uncensored at the same time as the US. So you don't get spoiled. You watch it the same time as everybody else, as the world and social media and stuff. And you also get to watch it uncensored with a small catch that is not on TV, unless you want to stream that or your Chromecast that or whatever. So that's the way moving forward. You have to give people solutions and not just punish them for you know, wanting to watch content that they're not getting locally.
Like Gabe Newell said.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the question of the day, folks. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to contribute. You can get us on Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. In fact, let's throw a poll up on Twitter, Arv. How many of you out there actually use an Android box or have thought about using an Android box? How many of you don't even know what they are? We'll put that up there. Votes are anonymous, so don't worry about that. We'll chat about that very shortly. Music, though, meanwhile, from the Eagles with Get Over It. And when we come back, more chat about this. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Audrey Raj.
Avinya Raj.
Topic of discussion today, these are not the Androids you're looking for. How the fight on Android boxes is to hit homes. In the red corner, it is Datuk Hans Isaac. In the blue corner, it is the consumers of Malaysia. You know, we thought we'd throw up a poll very quickly during the break as to whether or not you use or have thought of using an Android TV box. What's the result so far, Arv?
Yeah, so 36% for yes, 43% for no, and 21% for never heard of it.
There you go.
Innocence.
Innocence. Keep those votes coming in. We're going to move over to WhatsApp now for some responses on the question of whether or not homeowners should be held accountable for digital piracy.
Right, and we're keeping all feedback today anonymous, right?
Yeah.
So we have one here on WhatsApp that says, I have an Android box, but I use it for my Netflix and YouTube only. They're both legal. So why do we want to ban the Android boxes? It's not the Android box that is wrong. It's the misuse of it. Punish those that misuse it, but not the technology.
Agreed.
There's another one here from, I'm not supposed to say. I have no argument that piracy is a definite no-no, but if the authorities can go after the sellers of smoke candies, why not go for the sellers of these Androids instead of laying the blame and responsibility on landlords? Finas should put more effective effort to stop the piracy problem instead of complicating matters by bringing in the rights and duties between landlords and tenants.
Interesting.
Yeah. Another one here from Chris, who says, the Sony Android TV, is that more restricted than a Kodi box? I guess this is a question.
Yeah, it is slightly more restrictive. The Sony works on a closed ecosystem. It's very difficult to kind of hack into it or jailbreak it, if you like. The Kodi box, a lot easier to use. The software is readily available, and you can add and subtract for that, whereas the Sony one will give you more difficulty. So yes, the Sony is more restrictive.
All right.
Yeah. I think it comes back to, I want to mention something about the coffee comparison that was brought up earlier. Coming back to that, saying that, yeah, people would pay $15 for a cup of coffee and, wouldn't pay $13. Again, I think it's not about the cup of coffee. I think it's if someone could get a substitute for less, they would. Like if I could pay $2 for the same cup of coffee, I would. The difference is if you go to Mama and you buy like an iced coffee, you're not going to get the same level of Starbucks or San Fran Frappuccino. So again, it's not the price. People are not, they don't want to pirate stuff. It's not a hobby. They do it because, there's no other way around it.
It's funny you should mention that, actually, because the boba tea phase thing that we're going through currently is how much is it for a boba tea right now? Bubble tea?
Nah, 50? Some ridiculous price.
You're asking
price.
The wrong crowd.
Right, so they're ridiculously priced. And yet there was some guy at a mama providing the same thing, and apparently it's very tasty, for $4. And it's as good. And that's the thing. When you have that
alternative.
But what is the alternative here? I mean, are we just going to be stuck with whatever Astro can give us and iFlix and Netflix and Dim Sum can give us for
Unview and a whole bunch of other ones?
Is that what we're going to be stuck with? What about the shows that we don't get via these platforms?
I think that's where we are going to hit that problem, right? And that's where it's going to become a real discussion. Okay, we want to highlight local content. People want to watch good quality local content. They do. There's no denying that. You know, iFlix has shown that. View have shown that. But the problem is, when we want access to stuff like Game of Thrones and it not be through some other app, you know, or we want to watch something like, I don't know, Orange is the New Red or whatever it is, Black, whatever it is. Sorry, I'm colorblind.
The sequel.
Yeah, the sequel, yeah. You know, the ability to have that and it be uncensored and people realize that, you know, that the people watching this are adults and can make up their own mind,
yeah.
I think is a big issue. And I think the idea of censorship here right now in a society that has access to everything from anywhere is an old argument that you can no longer use.
Look at Netflix. Like, look at how quickly Netflix subscriptions went up the moment they opened here. It's like literally overnight. Like, one day you didn't have Netflix and the next day you had Netflix, and their subscription just boosted through the roof because one, it was cheap, and two, it was available on all their devices. I take the train to work regularly, and the number of screens that are on Netflix shows on my commute of just people, like, you know, lighting up their phones with some Netflix show, and you can see the logos when they start. They're just sitting around. Yeah, it's insane. Like, everyone's just watching Netflix, and it's you can tell it's legal. It's legally streaming Netflix because of how easy it is to access. So you know, it's I think that's probably the most logical or the easiest solution to piracy. Yeah.
Okay, we are just a bunch of talking heads at this point, so we thought we would speak to a couple of experts who know a little bit more about this. Arv, do you want to introduce them?
Yeah, so we spoke to Fung Cheng Leong. He is a lawyer. He focuses on intellectual property and information technology, internet, social media, cyber laws as well, franchise, privacy and data protection laws. And we also spoke to Geetha Kandia. She is the director of Trademarks and Designs Division at CAS International, which is a leading IP firm with a presence in four countries, which are Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia and Myanmar. We actually asked them what drives people to digital piracy in the first place, and this is what they had to say.
There are a couple of reasons why people consume pirated products. One is, of course, the convenience. Two is, of course, the pricing. It is free. Anyone can download, anyone can stream it. And these people who stream pirated products, they derive their income for various other means, for example, from advertising. Or even, let's say, collection of your data, and they use it to sell it.
The main reason it causes digital piracy is ease and convenience of getting access to whatever someone wants to watch. On the internet, people travel these days and people are mobile. It's either through their phones or through their laptops. So digital piracy, I think the main thing that causes digital piracy is there's ample audio and video online that's available anytime.
We also asked them if they thought homeowners should be held accountable for digital piracy.
Well, the current position is that the Copyright Act provides for a private use defense. So basically, people who consume pirated products are not liable for copyright infringement. There are pros and cons in this type of provision. The pro is that the consumers are protected from all sort of frivolous lawsuits or even a threat from the copyright owners. The con is, if you have this private defense, the fight against piracy is not brought to your home. I think the pro outweighs the con.
Attacking the users, bringing the music industry to picture, wasn't the solution. It wasn't the users. Attacking the users doesn't solve the problem. Users will eventually find the sites. And how do you then identify whether someone is watching it online, at home, or in their hotel, wherever they are in Malaysia? It's going to be difficult to nab the users. Even if our copyright law is changed, changing it is good. Okay? The one thing I do agree is copyright law being amended to make sure the user is also at wrong and can be caught by the law is good. The main reason being deterrent. It's a deterrent to anybody when you know I'm doing something unlawful. But in terms of it being effective, it would still be better to get the manufacturers of the Android TV boxes, the streaming devices, held liable.
Then we asked Cheng Leong, what would legal action for an issue like this look like?
There are two aspects to this. In the copyright infringement or in IP infringement, there are two provisions. One is a criminal liability and one is a civil liability. If you look into the criminal liability, assuming that anyone who consumes pirated products are liable for criminal prosecution, generally in all criminal cases is that when there is an breach of a certain provision, a criminal act, what would happen is the authorities would seize the products, would seize the infringing, the things that have been used for to commit the crime. So the Android box here would be one of the things that they want. And here we are looking at a raid, a possible raid at your house. That is for a criminal action. If you look at the civil side, on the other hand, what we will be looking at is a David against Goliath position. Assuming that the people who consume all these products, all these Android boxes are, and assuming that they have win and they could trace that you have downloaded pirate products or you have ownership of these Android boxes, what they will do is they will come send you a cease and desist letter telling you to stop doing this. They will also ask, for example, if you do not respond within so and so far or you pay us damages, let's say they ask damages of 10,000 ringgit or 5,000 ringgit, if you do not do so, we will sue you and they bring you to court. The threat of going to court is actually, it will scare many people.
I think that threat, or maybe that slight deterrent, might have some kind of impact for some people.
Yeah, yeah. Because it sort of frightens people and then it makes you think twice if you want to do something or not. Yeah.
Until you realize there's a new season of Game of Thrones coming next week.
Then you're like, it's worth it.
It's worth it.
And you remember what enforcement is like here in Malaysia.
Yeah. We also wanted to know, to what extent does the limited or restricted content in Malaysia contribute to digital piracy?
Yes, indeed. The restrictive content is also one of the main drives of people consuming pirated products. And of course, due to our censorship laws, we do not get a number of shows online, sorry, on the main TV. But of course, this also applies to not just main censorship law, it's also because of licensing issues.
It encourages people to actually go to streaming sites. The offering that's offered by the sites has a lot more content and has content that one can't usually view through the normal avenues available, normal legal avenues that are available. The three things would be actually, main thing would be convenience. Second would be you have access to material that you are not normally allowed to see in the country due to censorship. And the third one is your cost. It's free. So why wouldn't you choose something that's free compared to something that you have to pay for? And there's lack of awareness in Malaysia as well in terms of, yes, it's free, but it's wrong because it affects the production industry. It affects the whole movie industry.
And finally, we asked Geeta the million-dollar question. What is the potential solution here?
It has to be this Android devices being distributed. I think there's a lot of action already being taken to prevent manufacturers from distributing them around. That would be the most effective. There's an association called the International Trademark Association. And for many years, they were trying to fight piracy of counterfeit goods and so on. And a study that they did showed that a lot of this stems from awareness and upbringing. If the community doesn't have respect for intellectual property rights, then it's very difficult to educate at a later level. So what this association, the International Trademark Association, it's called INTA, what INTA then started was an Unreal campaign. They started a campaign where they educate people in school. So it's really, I know, it's really like long term, but Malaysia needs that. We've got piracy going on everywhere, on ground, online. Education of everyone respecting intellectual property rights is very much needed because that makes a difference. It's a mindset thing more than anything else. To the local video on demand, I would say making it very affordable, that's very key. The second thing is having a lot of variety of programs available because that's what the Generation Y and the younger generation seek.
Yeah, so that was Fung Cheng Leong and Geeta Kandia with their opinions and input on digital piracy in Malaysia.
Some real interesting insights there. We'll have a bit of a discussion about that actually when we come back, though. We've had plenty of feedback during the break, during those Vox Pops there. Keep the messages coming in, folks. 018-789-8899 is the number on WhatsApp, Twitter, Instagram, as usual. We're at BFM. We have a poll running right now. Do you use or have you thought of using an Android TV box? Do let us know over there. We're going to take a short break with Tom Waits and Rain Dogs. When we come back, moving on to story number two, brace yourselves. Hashtag gene bragging is near. Ords will be telling us all about that. Topic of the day, though, are you wrong for having an Android box in your house? Should you be held liable for that? We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.